Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
We don't know when the Lord's coming. The sooner the better for sure. But that's not to be our obsession. Or that's not to be our preoccupation. Our preoccupation is to be, Lord, we want to get the word out. We want to see the gospel spread. So, Lord, fill us with your spirit. Because, you know, this is something we can't do ourselves.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Acts. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on Acts, chapter 28, in a message titled, The Book of Acts, The Never-Ending Story. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
There's always going to be a mixed response to the gospel. You know, sometimes I just, you know, listening to different voices and hearing what people say at times, you know, we can almost get the impression that the reason people don't believe is because they just haven't had a clear or a proper presentation. And if, you know, if they could just hear the gospel from us, we would make it really clear and then they'd all believe. That's just not the way it works. Of course, that's not the way it worked with Jesus, right? Can you get a better presentation of the gospel than from Jesus Christ himself? No, you can't. But not everybody believed the message that Jesus brought. And so here it is with Paul. Paul is there in Rome. He's got all of these Jewish leaders now that have come together. They're asking questions. They say, tell us about this sect. That's what they called it, a sect. Tell us about this because we don't really know about it, except we know this, that it's spoken against everywhere. So Paul, we've got some questions we want to know. So they come together. And again, who's a better person to explain to Jews the law of Moses, the prophets, and how those were all testifying of Jesus? Man, Paul was a rabbi, so he knew it all. And so, you know, you would have thought that once Rabbi Paul communicated that clearly to that group, they all would have said, oh man, hallelujah, the Messiah has come. Yes, we believe, but they didn't. Some of them did. But there was a division. Some of them refused to believe and went on in their resistance. And this is what we should expect today as well. Not everybody's going to believe. And again, I think sometimes just, you know, some people think that if people aren't believing, we're at fault because we're misrepresenting or we're not really being loving or we're not, you know, whatever the case might be. But, you know, the truth is you can be the most loving, clear communicating, gracious, you know, gospel presenter of your generation. And there's still people that just, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to believe it. And they're going to resist what we say. That's just a reality. But a third thing that we see here is that God will send his message where it will be received. And that's what Paul says. After speaking to them, after quoting Isaiah to them, reminding them, well, you know, as they harden their hearts, Paul says, yep, that's just what Isaiah said. You guys are fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy. Hearing, you're going to hear, but not understand. Seeing, you're going to see, but not perceive. Why? Because your hearts have become hard. And so you won't turn so God can heal you. So Paul then says to them, let it be known to you that from this point on, God's word is going to the Gentiles and they will hear it. They will hear it. God sends his word to where people are going to hear it. Now, you know, sometimes I get just a fear for our country because of the exposure that we have had for basically, you know, from the very beginning of the history of this nation, a couple hundred years, the exposure that we've had to the gospel and the freedom with which the gospel has been able to go out into the culture. And it seems like we have a similar thing to what the case was with the Jews in those days, where it's like, yeah, heard that already. Yeah, I'm not interested. You know, don't really care. People have heard it so much, their hearts have become hardened. Years ago, I had an experience in Hungary, in the city of Debrecen, that just illustrated this point. We were there, we were doing an outreach in the center of town, and there was a group of probably 50 young, I would say they were college freshmen type of age, Americans. And they were there, I don't know what they were doing in the city. They were on some kind of a tour, and they were walking through, and there we are. We're in the center of the city, and we're doing music, and we're preaching the gospel. And they came by, and they mocked us and jeered at us and cussed at us and told us to get out of there and go home and, you know, all of those nice things that you would think young American college students would say. And I remember thinking, wow, how sad is this? But at the very same moment that was happening with them, the Hungarian people were gathered around saying, can you keep telling us this message? And not only the Hungarians, but there were two guys, I just remember this so vividly, they were refugees from Iraq, and they were Muslims. And there was a refugee camp in the area there, so they would come into the city during the day and, you know, try to get some work and all of that. So they ended up there within earshot of our message, and they came up as we were preaching and as we finished, and I started a conversation with them. These are the exact words that they said. They said, we have never heard such beautiful words. Can you tell us more of this good news? And I'm thinking, I got two Iraqi Muslims here telling me this is the greatest news they've ever heard in their life, and I got 50 American college students telling us to basically, well, I won't tell you what they were saying, but you get the picture, right? And what's happened? Well, it's the same thing that happened with the Jews. They heard it over and over and over again. They heard, but their ears were closed. And we've seen that before, but they couldn't see. Why? Because their hearts have become hardened. And of course, we cry out, we pray for mercy, we ask God to pour out his spirit upon our nation. And I'm not saying he won't, I certainly hope he does. But I do know this, that all around the world, there are literally billions of people who have never heard the message, who are saying, can we hear the message? Please tell us the message. And so maybe that will be the central focus of the work of the Spirit in the days ahead. Because like Paul said here, you know, you don't want to hear it. You've had your opportunity to hear it. We're going to go somewhere else and they will hear it. And so a second lesson there. And then thirdly, it says that Paul then remained for 2 years in Rome. And during those 2 years, people would come to him. And what does it say? It says that he was in his own rented house. He received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. Preaching the kingdom and teaching Jesus Christ is the perpetual purpose and calling of the church. This is what the church is to do. The church is to preach the kingdom of God and teach people about Jesus Christ. That's what the church is to do. If the church is not doing that, then the church is really not the church according to the biblical picture of the church. And so this is what Paul did, and it is an example of what we are to do. So preaching the kingdom of God, what is that? He talked about the fact that Christ was the true king. Now, of course, this would be in opposition to the popular view that Caesar was king. Caesar's the emperor. You know, in those days, they would literally refer to Caesar as the Lord. So when the New Testament says Jesus is Lord, that was a pushback against the propaganda of the empire that, no, Caesar is Lord. That's what they said. And they wanted everybody to agree to that Caesar is Lord. But the Christian said, no, Jesus is Lord. And so as Paul preached the kingdom, that's what he would preach, that Christ is the true king. And of course, that's what we believe, that Jesus is the true King. Jesus is the Lord. His kingdom is the kingdom that we're ultimately concerned with, and we're ultimately serving, not anything other than that. The second thing Paul would have preached is that the kingdom has come. See, the kingdom came when Jesus came. The king came and he brought the kingdom with him. And so when Jesus went around the villages of Galilee preaching, what did he say? He said, the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom, when Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand, as it reads in our text, he's saying the kingdom of God is here now. And then what did he say? Repent and believe in the gospel. And so the kingdom of God has come. God's kingdom has broken into history through the person of Christ, and we enter the kingdom today. Somebody put it like this a long time ago, that we are living in the already but not yet. And that's kind of a good way to understand it. The kingdom has already come. We, if you are a Christian today, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ personally, you're part of the kingdom. You're in the kingdom now. And you're living the kingdom life to a certain degree. Your personal experience and our experience together as God's people loving one another and ministering together and ministering to each other and blessing and sharing gifts and all of those kinds of things, those are all manifestations of life in the kingdom. But of course, this is a taste of what is yet to come. And so Paul would have also then included the kingdom is coming. So he would have told those that came to visit him that Christ is the king, that the kingdom is now, but the kingdom will come in its fullest sense in the future. And that's the message that we also bring today. So preaching the kingdom of God, and then it said teaching Jesus Christ, teaching the things that concern the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in a sense, you know, although preaching can apply to believers as well, but we think of preaching the kingdom, we're talking about this is the message to those who are outside. There is a king, the kingdom is here, come on in, and one day the kingdom will come in all its fullness. But then for those who come into the kingdom, what we do now is we teach the things concerning Jesus Christ. And so that's what we do. That's why we go through God's word, because that's where, you know, God's word is the ultimate revelation is about Christ. And so we're teaching about Jesus Christ, his person, who he is. We talk about his divine nature, but also his human nature. He is God who took upon himself a human body. And we speak of his life and his ministry and his teaching. And we learn about him from each of those things and his work upon the cross, his atoning death, and his resurrection from the dead, his ascension into heaven, his sending the Holy Spirit to fill us. So those are the things we do. That's what the church does. What Paul did for 2 years there in Rome, that's just a little microcosm of what the church is to be doing. Preaching the kingdom and teaching the things that concern Jesus Christ. Now, as I said in the beginning, the story doesn't end here. You know, I thought about calling this message the end of the beginning, because the book of Acts is the beginning, and we've just come to the end of the book of Acts. But the story goes on, as we've already mentioned, and it will go on until the kingdom of God comes in all of its fullness. And to quote one final time from John Stott, he said this. He said, the Acts of the Apostles were long ago finished, but the Acts of the followers of Jesus will continue to the end of the age, and their words will spread to the ends of the earth. And that's exactly what we've seen. And like I said in the beginning, we've sought to tie the past to the present. These are historical accounts. They're absolutely true. This happened in history. But it's not just that. what happened in history is a picture of what is to happen all throughout history until the Lord returns. And so that's what we sought to do, take these stories and apply them to our current experience in this world. Now, as we come to a conclusion, I want us to remember that the mission is not yet completed. And there's still work to do. And we've got to continue to preach the kingdom of God and teach people the things that concern Jesus Christ. And we can only do that through the empowering of the Spirit. And that's where the whole story began, remember? It all began with the followers of Jesus after his death and resurrection asking him this question: Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? You see, that's what they were waiting for. They were Jews, and they knew that there was a promise of a Messiah, and that the Messiah would come, and he would be a descendant of David, and he would sit on the throne of David, and he would establish a universal kingdom that would be based in Jerusalem. And it would be a blessing to the Israelites. It would be a blessing to the Jewish nation, and the blessing would extend out to the rest of the world. And that's what they were expecting. They didn't expect a crucifixion. That just was not even remotely in their thinking. The Messiah can't die. He wouldn't be the Messiah if he died, they thought. But now they've been educated. Okay, wow, the Messiah did die, but he came back to life. And now that he's alive, they're asking him this question. They probably thought, like, all right, we're finally getting it. And so now is the time, right, Lord? This is when you're going to establish the kingdom. And what does Jesus say? He said this. He said, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses to me. Now, to them, he said, you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, which they were, and Judea, which they were, and Samaria, which they were, and all the way out to now Rome, where Paul is, to the ends of the earth. And that word for them is the same word for us today. You see, today, it's not for us to know times or seasons which God has put in his own authority. You know, we don't know when the Lord is going to return. And there's certainly nothing with no problem with having an interest in the coming of the Lord. I mean, that's a wonderful reality that is in the future at some point, but we don't know when in the future. And so rather than thinking, okay, you know, now is the time, the kingdom's going to be restored to Israel. Somebody asked me on the radio the other day, what does the Bible say about blood moons? Nothing. Doesn't say anything about blood moons. It just, there's a prophecy from Joel that's recorded right here in Acts that in, you know, at that time, at the very end, that the sun is going to turn to sackcloth and the moon's going to turn to blood before the coming of the great and the awesome day of the Lord. It's talking about what's going to happen during the tribulation. That's all it says. That's the only reference to a blood moon in the Bible. And so when we get preoccupied with those kinds of things, it's just the wrong thing. And that's what Jesus says to them. Lord, are you going to establish a kingdom now? It's not for you to know that. That's not your, you don't have any control over that. This is what you are to know. You're going to receive power. And the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and you're going to be witness to me. You're going to preach the kingdom, and you're going to teach concerning me, and you're going to do it starting right here, and you're going to go out to the farthest reaches of the world. And so as we close our study in the book of Acts, I want to remind you that that is where we are. We are at that place. We don't know when the Lord's coming. The sooner the better, for sure. But that's not to be our obsession, or that's not to be our preoccupation. Our preoccupation is to be, Lord, we want to get the word out. We want to see the gospel spread. So, Lord, fill us with your spirit, because, you know, this is something we can't do ourselves. God never intended that the Great Commission be fulfilled through us giving our best effort. Our best effort is going to fall short. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't give our best effort. It just means that our best effort is never going to get it done. We need more than our best effort, and God's happy to supply that. I mean, he told us he would. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And so the best way to finish our study here in the book of Acts is just to be saying, Lord, would you fill me afresh with your spirit? Because obviously the work is not yet done. And there are many who still need to hear the gospel, who will come to faith in Christ, and who need to be discipled and brought to maturity in the Lord. And Lord, would you use me to do that? And remember, as we've gone through this book, we've seen it all. We've seen the apostles, and we saw how Paul was a persecutor, but then God pulls him in and makes him an apostle. But we've seen all of these different, just ordinary people, just like us, who are going about life with this goal, to glorify God, to glorify Christ, to proclaim his name, to get his message out to people. And those people are just a reminder to us that that's how God works. He works through people. He works through his people. And he calls some to be in a visible position, you know, high recognition, speaking to emperors and kings, and he calls some to do that. But you know, most, he just calls like to, hey, you got a neighbor, right? You got people that you work with, right? You got people that you're associated with. If they don't know the Lord, then that's the mission field right there. And there's people all around the world like that. So may God help us to realize that the story of Acts will not be completed until the Lord returns. And more and more and more chapters have been added already, and there's more chapters to be added. And guess what? You're in the book. You're in the story. And who knows? Maybe someday the Lord will just say, oh, here's the finished copy of Acts. And we'll read right here about, you know, Paul being in his own rented house for 2 years. And then suddenly we just jump into the next thing that happened. And you never know, you might be reading, you know, we got a lot of time in eternity. You could read, you know, the story there. And all of a sudden, there's your name. Oh, my goodness. Yes, we did this. I did this. Oh, and it's right here. You never know, because the book is intentionally left incomplete because the work is not yet done. And we are the ones at this time to write the story. It's a never-ending story. Let's keep writing it by faith in the grace of God and through the power of his Spirit.
For the month of February, Back to Basics Radio is continuing to focus on resources for apologetics. And this month, we're offering the book titled Cold Case Christianity by J. Warner Wallace. Have you ever been skeptical about the claims of the gospel? What evidence exists that Jesus rose from the dead? And how can Jesus' claims about eternal life be substantiated? And how can we answer those questions over 2,000 years after the fact? In his book, Cold Case Christianity, a homicide detective investigates the claims of the gospel. J. Warner Wallace presents step-by-step on how to think like a detective and then apply those reasoning skills to the claims of the gospels. Whether you're a skeptic or a believer, this book will help you to examine the Gospels in order to help you evaluate its claims. So we encourage you to call us right now at 0208-466-5365 or visit us online at brianbroderson.uk. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we begin a new series in the book of Galatians. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.